the book of Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 5, and I'll read just one verse. That'll be verse 13 today. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, and you're willing and able to stand this morning, and we'll read this verse and pray and try to preach as the Lord directs our heart. I've talked about this verse and the following verses quite a bit last couple years as we look at our country and our world, but I will just kind of major on verse 13 this morning, try to help us into what the Lord is speaking of in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13. Jesus says this, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today that you give us one more opportunity to assemble your people in your house. Oh, Father, I pray now for just a few minutes. You give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. I pray you touch us that we might be able to preach. Lord, the message you've stirred in our heart. I pray you give your people hearing ears, receptive hearts today. Lord, if there's one in our midst that does not know you as Lord and Savior, may this be the time, may this be the place that the Holy Ghost will convict them and draw them out to the place of repentance and salvation. Help us, I pray, to leave here a better Christian, to serve you better. And Lord, everything you do, we thank you and we praise you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. I want to read this verse again. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but the salt have lost its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." I'm interested in what Jesus said. Ye are the salt of the earth. I'm going to preach this morning, God helping me, on the subject of a salty Christian, a salty Christian. Jesus in this great sermon very often uses earthly things to relate great spiritual truth. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He is taking something earthly, just salt, just grains of salt, and he relates it to the Christian life. He lets us know we're salt in a world that is corrupt. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this and stress it to you. The church is not left here, my friend, to make the world get better and then the Lord come back. That is a false teaching. But we're here to be a witness to a lost and dying world. Hey, friend, I'm glad for the day that I had a head-on collision with the Lord Jesus Christ. He convicted me of my sin, and I repented, and he saved me by his marvelous grace. From that day to this one, I've been instructed here in Scripture to be salt, to be what God would have us to be. Have a godly testimony, a Christian testimony of what Christ has done in our life. Somebody said, "Preacher, I'm not salty." Well, I asked you first, have you ever been converted? You've been changed by the power of the gospel. There's a lot of folk, the reason they're not salty is they've never been saved. You can't be something that you're not. Amen. But when God saved us, he transformed our life. Friend, he changed us inside and out. And I'm glad that he does. That's what salvation will do. It'll change you. I can say this without reservation. If there's been no change, there's been no conversion. Amen. You say, "But preacher, what if your child gets saved?" There's still a change. That's right. Now, I didn't have to give up a whole lot of stuff when I got saved. Wasn't in a lot of stuff. But it changed my life. It changed my thinking. It changed my desires. A salvation makes a change in a person's life. Now, I'm not trying to make myself change. He changed me. Amen. Now, yes, I have responsibility in my Christian life, but the initial change happened at salvation. Amen. So he says here, ye are the salt of the earth. I want you to know this. God did not choose angels to propagate the gospel. He did not choose, friend, the animal world to propagate the gospel. But he chose fallen man who gets redeemed, gets saved. He has chosen us to carry this gospel message around the world and tell them Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That is our main message. Oh, friend, we are to be a salty Christian. Well, preacher, why would Jesus use this illustration, this example? Well, I believe there's a few things here, and I'll be done. First of all, let me say this. Salt is a preservative. It helps slow down corruption. Before the day's refrigeration, meat was very often cured with salt. It was to help keep the worms away longer, where you could enjoy the meat on down the road. Many folk had a smokehouse and a cellar and would keep those meats hanging there, and that salt would preserve that meat. Now, Jesus, when he saved us, didn't take us to heaven that instant, but he left us here as a preserving agent. Now, that's why the church is not to be silent. Hello. We've got the world going crazy. And they're hollering and protesting and tearing things up and burning it down. But as a child of God, we're not destructive. We're a preserving agent. Amen. Hey, friend, the reason sin has not totally took over our country is there are believers still in America that are salty. Amen. We're that preserving agent. Hey, we need to be out open, outspoken, that Christ saves. He saved us. He can save others. Oh, a preserving agent slows down the corruption. Can I remind you, Luke 17 and verse 32, Jesus said this, remember Lot's wife. Why would Jesus say such a thing? Well, when you study Genesis chapter 18 and 19, in chapter 18, God lets Abraham know he's going to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah, a place of grotesque sin, a place that they wanted nothing to do with God. And Lot is in that place. But here's the problem. Lot's not salty. His wife is not salty. And listen to me good. Lot knew the Lord. How do you know that, preacher? Reading them verses don't look like it. The book of Peter let us know he knew the Lord. It talked about his righteous soul. Amen. So Lot did know God, but he wasn't salty. There's a lot of folks sometimes, you're not careful, you'll not be salty. And he says, I'm going to destroy Sodom. Well, Abraham intercedes, starts out at one number, winds up with 10. If you study scripture, they should have been 10, but they weren't salty. So therefore, Sodom's destroyed. When God gets Lot, his wife, and two daughters out of Sodom, what happens to Lot's wife? She looks back, and God turns her into what she should have been. Hello? He turned her into a pillar of salt. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're to be salt outside these four walls. God, deliver us from church house religion. God, help us to not just talk about it and shout about it in here, but outside this church, may we be a salty Christian helping preserve this thing. buddy, we're going down a path quick in America. And if God's people don't stand, if God's people are not salty, it's simply just going to get away from us. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we find that salt is a preservative. Matter of fact, as I think about Sodom, Isaiah chapter 1, God and Isaiah are in communion. They're talking. God's talking to Isaiah. And it is said that Israel's a putrefying sower. And you get to verse 9, I believe it is. And they said, except there'd been a remnant, we'd been as Sodom and we'd been as Gomorrah. Can I tell you, that gives us hope. That reminds us, if we'll be salty, we can help preserve our country. I love America. Don't you? If you don't, I think I could get away with taking an offering for you today and help get you out if you don't like it. Amen. But I love our country. But I want to be salty in this country. Amen. Don't run over and play dead. Don't act like you don't know God when you do know Him. Hey, be salt out in this world. Salt is a preservative. But let me say this. Secondly, salt irritates. Amen. You say, oh, pray. Oh yeah. All you need's a paper cut. That ain't a deep wound. You're not going to die from it as far as I know. But a paper cut that gets some salt in it burns. It's irritating to that small paper cut. Can I say this? Hear me today. Salt irritates this world on a spiritual note. If you're salty, don't you expect the world to come up and pat you on the back. I'm glad you're salty. That's not going to happen. Are you hearing me today? Hey, young folk at school, don't think everybody there is going to be glad that you've got right with God and you're serving God and you're salty and you're not drinking and cussing and doping with the rest of, hey, they're not going to like it. People don't like churches that are salty. Someone showed me a list the other day. There's some folk getting a list up about these that are part of these hate crimes and stuff. And there's some church, some preacher friends of mine are on it. They ain't hating nobody. They're just preaching the truth. And I will say this, they picked on one of them, and he's the wrong one to pick on. Because they still think he's going to apologize, and he ain't done it in all these years. He ain't going to start now. Amen. Why? He's salty. That's what he is. And he irritates the world. Amen. Hey, you don't think so? You can go back in the Old Testament. We find that Elijah irritated King Ahab in 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse 70. Ahab accused Elijah of being the one that troubles Israel. Do you know what they're trying to do now in America? They're trying to blame us with things that they're saying we're what's wrong with it. We that are Christians, they're trying to blame. We're the troublers. We're not troubling. We're just salty. And the reason it bothers them is they're not salty. Amen. Are you hearing me? Elijah troubled Ahab because of being a salty individual. I think about in the book of Daniel, the Hebrew boys irritated King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 3, verse 13 and verse 19. He's full of fury and rage. Why? Those boys wouldn't bow down to his golden image. They wouldn't worship his image, but they said, we'll stand and we're not going to bow. Hey, hear me today. You don't bow to this world and you're going to make them real irritated. They're not going to like you. They're not going to want to look at you in a good light. They're going to frown. They're going to talk down. They're going to cuss you. They're going to hate you. But I remind you this, before they ever hated us, they hated our Lord. And they don't love our Lord today no more than they did way back yonder. It's not changed. Hey, salt irritates. Can I say this? I try to be very sensitive to what the Lord wants me to preach. But I hope every now and then I get you irritated. Hey, man. I hope every now and then the book really ruffles you up good. Because we need that. We don't need to get comfortable. See, that's what's happened in a lot of churches. They just want all comfort. Well, I'm going to tell you, as it's just been some been told, we're passing through. We're not here to stay. Hey, there's comfort in the time of trial. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to be salty that we keep things kind of ruffled. Right. It don't hurt nothing. Amen. We find that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they irritated King Nebuchadnezzar. But I also find the New Testament where Paul and Silas irritated a whole crowd. In Acts 17, this is what they said about Paul and Silas. Those that have turned the world upside down have come hither. That ain't a bad testimony neither. Hey, man, somebody say, preacher, you're just for stir. No, listen to me. You just be salty. Everything else is getting its place. Hey, man, I'm telling you, the world thinks we're the problem. You hear me? We've got them just about to tear our nation apart and burning it down. Hello. It is more important. You don't need to be in the discussion at work about it. You be salt. Amen. You tell them, listen, the hope for this nation, and it is, it's Jesus Christ. Amen. You're not going to fix the blackened hearts of men, women, boys, and girls who are lost and don't want God. You're not going to fix it with some kind of program. You're not going to fix it with some kind of a protest. They got to get regenerated. Amen. We find that salt irritates. It bothers. May I say, not only salt preserves and salt irritates, but salt reminds of a sacrifice. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, Jesus is writing mostly, when he's speaking at this Sermon on the Mount, he is mostly speaking to Jewish people at that time. And so he's using illustrations that they're very much acquainted with. Because in Leviticus, the handbook of worship in the temple and tabernacle, the Old Testament, here's what the Bible said about one of their offerings. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. So as he said, you're the salt of the earth and you're being salty. You're going to remind others around you about sacrifice. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this New Testament day, if you're salty, you're going to remind the world that Christ didn't come in the world for some holidays, but he came in the world to go to the cross and shed his last blood that men can be saved and have life more abundantly. Amen. If you're salty, you're reminding this world about the sacrifice of Christ. Amen. Hey, when you're 11 and they're hateful, you're showing forth that, hey, you're salt. You've been made different by Jesus Christ and his finished work at Calvary. Amen. See, we ought to remind folk around us. They ought to be able to see Christ in us, have the hope of glory. So we remind this world of a sacrifice. Now, hear me. That's why they don't want a cross in public. That's why they don't want Bible verses and get rid of a park bench because they don't want to think about the fact that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. That's what they don't want to be reminded of. Amen. Are you hearing me good this morning? As we live for Christ, we're reminding him Jesus did come to the world to die and be buried and rose again. He really did that. Amen. So we find salt preserves, salt irritates, salt reminds of a sacrifice. Number four, let me say this. Salt causes thirst. Causes thirst. I know this well because last night for supper, I had four eggs and a slab of country ham. Good to be a Gentile. Amen. That's right. I'm glad I ain't living under the law. Amen. That country ham's good. It's salty. You say, preacher, what about your blood pressure? It wasn't bad. Amen. Wasn't bad this morning. But I don't do that all the time. But you know what that salt-cured ham does? It makes you real thirsty. Matter of fact, you go eat Chinese today, and you're going to be thirsty the rest of the day. Go eat Mexican food, and you're going to be thirsty. What is it? It's the salt content. Salt causes a thirst. Do you know part what brought you to Christ? Was another believer that God put in your path. They had got saved. They were living for God. They were salty. And it began to attract you to Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of us, I can say that's how we got it. There's somebody that was real in our life. Amen. Hey, I want to cause folk to thirst for the Lord. Amen. I want them to know him as I know him. In the meeting I preached Thursday and Friday night, one of the young men preached during the youth rally the other night, preached on Sunday, kicking that thing off, and he did surrender preach unto me. And they said this to me, said, preacher, it ain't hard to tell you as that boy's preacher at one time. You know what happened to that boy? He saw something that made him thirsty. I'm going to tell you something. It's important for your children's sake, your grandchildren's sake, for those in this church around you, and for those that see you outside this place, that you're salty, that a thirst for God will begin to rise up in them. Amen. Hey, friend, I'm glad for some salty Christians that created thirst in my heart one day. Let me say this in closing, number five, because it's in our text. He said, first of all, ye are the salt of the earth. But then, boy, there's something pretty negative from the rest of this verse. There's the danger for the salt. For he said there, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. This is also recorded in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 9 and verse 50. He said this, salt is good, but the salt have lost its saltiness. Wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Luke chapter number 14. And verse 34 and 35 said, salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He gives a danger about salt. Now, we don't quite grab this, and here's why. Our salt is different than it was in Bible days. Ours is more refined, or however you want to say it, purified and other things. In Bible days, salt wasn't as pure or refined. It was brought from rock salt or from water out of the Dead Sea that's evaporating. The salt's left. That's what is the salt he's talking about. And that salt had to be careful. It wasn't exposed to water and to air a whole lot because it would lose its saltiness. Now, I know that's a little hard for us to grab because that don't happen in our day. But he's warning about our testimony. That's what he's driving to us. When he said, you're the salt of the earth, he says this last part. Now, listen to me. Everybody look at me. A child of God cannot lose their salvation. If you're saved forever. That's right. But if you ain't careful, you lose your testimony. Amen. Now, you say, preacher, don't God forgive? He does. But there's people going to be still remembering. Amen. So we got to guard our testimonies. Amen. Be salt. Don't lose your saltiness. Be a salty Christian today. Now, I understand this simple preaching and maybe unusual preaching for some of you. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that Jesus in this great sermon, he talked about us being salt. He went on to talk about light, and we can look at that another time. But he said, be ye that you are the salt of the earth. I want to be salty. There were generations before me were salty. I want to be salty. Amen. I'm the style of preacher I am because of some preachers before me. That's right. as a young preacher, I'd listen to tapes and listen to radio broadcasts, and those men that was preaching this Bible like it was, men as they are, and they was preaching in past, that caused me as a young preacher to say, now, Lord, I've got to have that same unction that those men have got. And that's right. Amen. So I want to be salty for another generation. If we have, hey, listen, for Gateway to keep always going on, we that make up Gateway have got to be salty. These young people have got to know this thing's real. That it ain't just something we're doing on Sunday twice or Wednesday night, but that every day of our life we're to be salty. Amen. Brother Ken, you mentioned Sunday school. Our children know what we do wrong, and we told them to do one thing, we do that. They're the first ones to pick up on it. That's right. And young people in church pick up on all that too. Amen. So it's important that we're salty. Don't lose your saltiness. Don't lose your testimony. Keep a good testimony. Live for God. Be what God would have us to be in this present world today. Father, I pray you take the message. Use it. I pray to help the people of God. Lord, we ask you to indeed help us to always be salty. Help us, Lord, to tell others about Christ. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just a moment. I've tried my best to preach what the Lord laid on my heart. And maybe there is someone here today say, preacher, I'm not even saved. I'm lost, and I know I'm lost. I know I need Christ. Would you remember me in prayer? And we're not going to point you out. I ain't going to embarrass you. But by lifting your hand, you're concerned about your soul enough that you'd ask us to remember you in prayer. Anybody? I wonder, could they be a child of God here today? You're not as salty as you ought to be. God's dealt with your heart. Maybe you are saved, and yes, you are salty. Man, you're trying to live for God. But maybe even today, with that final point, just a reminder, oh, I need to be careful. I need to be careful that I don't lose my saltiness. Amen. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. Folk are already coming to the altar. Would you come join them? God touched your heart. Moms, dads, are you salty? I preach to them for 30 minutes most time each service. But ladies and gentlemen, they're going home with you, and what they know about God and church, they're really getting from you. You're living it out. So it's important that you be salty. If all they ever hear is negative things about the church at home, that's really what they're going to believe about it. That's all they know about it. They know daddy can't stand this one and mama don't like that one, and they ain't been real free with the preaching lately. If that's all they ever get, I'm telling you, those children will not want to desire God. They're going to say, this is a joke. This is foolishness. You got to guard, child. You got to guard yourself. While we sing, this altar's open.